This morning's message, Uncircumcised Philistines. Uncircumcised Philistines. And I told you, starting off Wednesday night, that the Philistines was from Camter, the island of Crete, where they came from, and then they migrated to Camter. And it was a group of people that stands for, metaphorically for us, and types and shadow, those things that are carnal, that which is carnal, that which is against God, the flesh, all that they are, they is, the desires of the flesh. It stands for man against God. It's the giant Goliath stood and defied the armies of God. The Philistines is consistently defied God. We don't want to get the Philistines mixed up with Palestine or Palestinia. Palestine is that area that they came to occupy in which God had not given them. They occupied that land, and that was Canaan land. So they had no right of inheritance in the first place because it wasn't in the plan for them. But they had gotten into that land. They were corrupt. They were abominable people. And God cast them out of that land. That's why you see even to the day, it still says about Palestine. And we don't want to look and see that this is not just geographical. The gospel is universal. So thus, Palestine of the promised land would be universal. That which God promised to his people would be universal. The Spirit would be universal and would apply to the born again people, those that God had called elected. Whereas Judah was typed and shadowed as the church in that day in Israel. And we don't want to use replacement theology in that God's promise to Israel still stands. That covenant that he made with them still stands. So don't get confused with that God has another fold that he's bringing into the flock, which is the Gentile nations, which are the Gentiles. Abraham is a type and shadow, of the only type and shadow in the Bible of our Father God. And if we be children of Abraham, we be children of faith. But we, as we read in chapter 47, that God has to deal with the Philistines. And as I was saying, he has elect people in which he chose for a purpose. Our purpose was to go forth and do good works. We're to do good works. We're created for good works. And we're to do that which God called us to do. And whenever we're slack and don't do that which God calls us to do, he sidelines us. He places us on the bench. Some of us he places in the grave. Some of us his judgment takes out of the game, because only a smart coach, a wise coach, he's going to want his best players on the field. You don't want to be a bench warmer in religion. The Philistines were religious. The Philistines always show religious, but they're uncircumcised. They're not under control, whereas we are the circumcision, and that circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. God circumcised us. We under control of God. We're guided by God. But Judah didn't accomplish the purposes of God. Most of what we look at in the Old Testament are people who went about their own agenda. After they gotten strong, after they waxed strong of their own, they went about their work and forgot the work that God had called them to do. We got 3 points this morning. 3 points we want to go over as we read our opening scripture from the book of 1 John, the 2nd chapter, and the 16th verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and one's own resources of stability. In other words, those are your Philistines. We have to conquer the Philistines. God had birthed us again to conquer those desires. That's the only way that Satan could come under you. That's the only way the flesh takes control of you, or through those three gates: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. If you allow God to work in your life, you can subdue those Philistines and any other Philistines that come into your life. Because Satan is a creature of habit and he works that same way all the time. God gives us the commands to follow, and if we don't obey them, it's judgment for us on those things. He gives us a lot of opportunities. He gave Judah countless numbers of opportunities, but they didn't take heed to those opportunities. Are we taking heed today as a church, as a people, when God comes into our lives, or do we sympathize with the Philistines? Do we sympathize with the Philistines, or do we go about and establish the kingdom of God and what God created us for and what he created us to do? Well, on our first point is about the lust of the flesh. God had given Abraham a command in which Abraham didn't follow fully. Abraham didn't follow that command fully. He took his nephew Lot with him. First of all, he took his father with him apiece. God had to withhold his blessings from Abraham until he moved the father out of the way. Sometimes we try to drag our relatives and other people in on blessings God has for us and not do what God told us to do. If the father would have went along, the father still would have wanted to have control over Abraham. He'd have still been a father figure that, but God wanted Abraham as the head. He called him the father of faith. Leave your kindred, Abraham. Leave means leave. Lot was a part of that kindred that he took, and no sooner after he had went through all his troubles and woes of learning of God, and a lot of times all the things in your life you go off learning of God or whatever, the Philistines come back in and move into the promised land. Move into your life, into land God had said for you to consecrate yourself to, and that he's going to bless you in that land, you bring your relatives back in there. He had been to Pharaoh, he had been to Abimelech, he had lived life, but God was still with him. God's still been merciful to us all these years. We've been messing up. We've been failing God, and he's been with us all this time. But we see what happened with Abraham. Him and Lot's herdsmen were striving with one another. We read it in Genesis, the 13th chapter, in the 9th through the 13th verse, where it says, "Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I beg you, from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you choose the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot looked and saw that everywhere the Jordan Valley was well watered. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, it looked it as a paradise. It was all like the garden of the Lord, just like Eve was in. It was luscious. It looked tempting. Like the land of Egypt. You remember, they loved it, the land of Egypt. When God took them away from Egypt, they say, "Oh, but if we was by the rivers of the Nile and eating of the leeks and the cucumbers and all these things." That was the lust of the flesh. Lot was operating by the lust of the flesh. Then Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and he traveled east, and so they separated. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of Jordan toward that valley, and moved his tent as far as Sodom and dwelt there. But the men of Sodom were wicked and exceedingly great sinners against the Lord. I tell you, the Philistines are always against God. When you go back into the world, when you move from where God has you, where your inheritance at, it's going to look good on the other side. It's going to look good out in the world. And you, before long, you're going to be right in the middle of sin. That's the lust of the flesh, because you want to bump horns with the world. The world looks good. It has a lot to be desired. Look at that tree. Isn't it one to make one wise? Isn't it one to make you like God? Just look at that. The lust of the flesh. You wanting a covenant in something God hadn't given you. Something that you can't fight that fight with, because you're not yourself anymore. You should be pleasing God, so that's not going to fulfill you anyhow. When you get that house, when you get that car, when you get that husband or wife, or when you get children, when you get that job, whenever you get what you want, it's still not enough, because you don't have God. If you don't have God, you don't have anything. Yeah.
But the Philistines will make you want those other things. They are against God. They are wicked and above all. Watch the flesh. The flesh is carnal and it cannot please God. It is not subject to the laws of God. We must crucify the flesh. That's our Philistines, the lust, our lust and desires. That's why you have wars, because the warring inside of your members, you lust and you have not. When you ask for something, you ask it amiss because you want to consume it upon your own lust. And you ask why God isn't blessing me, because it's something you don't need. But that's how the land of Philistine is. That's how the flesh is. It's always wanting to rule, conquer. It's the oppressor. It brings you into bondage. It brought Lot to that place. We will see what that did to Lot and his family. Because there was a judgment against Lot. There was a judgment because he moved into a wicked place and the Philistines overcame him. You can't overcome the Philistines. God has to overcome the Philistines in your life. As we read chapter 47 here, God had hired out all types of people. He hired Samson. He hired David, tried it. All of Saul failed. The Philistines had been there, and the Philistines are there to this day in your life, in my life. The Philistines is against God. I tell you, that which is against God is a Philistine. The Egypt was smoked, Gad, it says. Looked like wicked people did what God had hired Samson to do. He told Samson that was the reason he was making him a Nazarite, so that he could stop the Philistines from oppressing us. What did Samson do? He married a Philistine. David, what did he do? The Philistines, he put them under oppression. He pressed them back. But the Philistines were still there when David was gone. David was a man of war. Saul spent his whole life fighting the Philistines. That's what caused Saul to get out of the Lord, because the Philistines was coming up on him. And he got so impatient, he said, Samuel, I couldn't wait for you. So I offered up an offering myself, because the Philistines was coming. The Philistines will get you operating under pressure. The Philistines will get you to do something against God. In a pretense of religion, he offered up offering to God, which he wasn't supposed to do. That was Samuel's job. Get out there fooling with them Philistines if you want to. You remember I told you, you could be the Philistine? The people could be the Philistine? Moses fooling with the Philistine, and the people got him so upset, so mad, till he smoked the rock, and God had told him to speak to the rock. You better watch your temper. You better watch what you say when people put you under pressure. I might could operate under pressure. I might can do these things. You might not can do that. All us ain't the same. Moses was God's given leader, and he's supposed to have been able to control. That's why I say the old men, the aged men should be temperate, sober. He shouldn't allow that to happen. If you're a leader of your house, you shouldn't allow your children to get under your nerves to where you go abusing them. To where you do things you shouldn't do. You shouldn't let your wife get under your nerves to where you're saying and not treating her with understanding. That's a problem with self. See, Moses had a problem with self. That same self caused him not to enter into the promised land. He said, Moses, because you smoked the rock, you can't enter into the promised land. That was a sealed deal. And Moses asked him a couple of times. And one time God asked, say, look, you get up there and go see it, but don't ask me about this matter no more. When God goes to making decisions, we better watch it. As a result of this, he says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines. Before that, Pharaoh smote Gaza. Thus said the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north and shall be an overflowing flood, and shall overflow the land and all that is therein, and the city and them that dwell therein. Then the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall howl at the noise of the stamping of the hooves, his strong horses, and the rushing of his chariots, and at the rumbling of his wheels. The father shall not look back to their children for feebleness of hands, because of that day that cometh to spoil all the Philistines, and to cut off from Tyrus and Sidon every helper that remained. For the Lord will spoil the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Camptah, Baldness has come up on Gaza, and Ascalon is cut off with the remnant of their valley. How long will thy cut thyself? Thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself into thy scabbard, rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing that the Lord had given it a charge against Ascalon and against the seashore, that there had he appointed it? That God had sent it to do something, and it's going to accomplish what he sent it to do. God is doing something now, and that's why I try to keep y'all aware of what happened in the Old Testament, but we shouldn't be looking for real Philistines. We should be looking at this from a spiritual perspective. That we're not warring against flesh and blood, but yes, indeed, that Philistine, that spirit may come into you in the guise of your parents, in the guise of your children, in the guise of your spouse, in the guise of your employer, your employee. Anybody could, that spirit could enter into any man. And that's who would get you off of the trail. That's who would get you away from serving God. Those are the things that we have to be aware of today, because what was back then was for our admonition for this day, for how to walk. So we're not looking for Goliath. Walmart could be the Goliath, as I told you this morning. That wife could be the Goliath. Your husband or children could be the Goliath. You have to subdue that thing in your life. You may be the Goliath. The lust of the eyes is that second point. All that we see, desire, and covet after. This is what Samson said. Don't go to sleep on me this morning now. Judges 14:3 says, but his father and mother said to them, is there not a woman among the daughters of your kinsmen or among all our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said to her, get her from me, for she is all right in my eyes. There go them eyes again. Them Philistines look good. The Philistines looked good. It's just like those Moabites. The Moabs looked good. But that may be your problem. You give into the lust of the eye. You give into a good-looking car. You give into what that is that looks good. That's a problem. You got an eye problem. His parents telling him, what's wrong with staying in the Lord? That's unclean to you. This is circumcised. That's uncircumcised. Why can't you take a wife from among these people here? But no, she looked good in his sight. When you disobey your parents, you can shorten your days. He shortened his days by disobeying his parents. He shortened his days by betraying God. Because of that woman. Because of the woman. How far shall we chase this trail? Let's go all the way back to Genesis to find out where was the first Philistine standing at. Genesis 3:3 says, now, starting with the first verse, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil, and blessing and calamity. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, was good, suitable, pleasant. It was good for food, that it was a delight for the look at, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. In order to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She gave some to her husband, and he ate some. That's three things right there. She looked at it. It looked it good. The appearance was good. It appeared good to the flesh. That was a judgment. And it was one that would make one wise. It would make one wise. The pride of life. You know, everybody want to be smarter than the next guy. You tell somebody something, oh, I know that already. I know this. And they wanted to know more than God. That was a problem there. They wanted to know more than God. Then the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made them aprons of girdles. They got what they wanted, They didn't know how to handle what they got. They lost what they had. Have you lost what you had? Is that anointing leaving off your life? If you've been told God was going to bless you, are your blessings falling by the wayside? Can you see your life going backwards? Maybe you've been spoiled by a Philistine. A Philistine, I told you, is a spoiler. It's like the devil. He wants to kill, rob, and steal and deprive you of your inheritance, of your birthright. The Philistines are seductive. How many of you have been trapped by Delilah? You know, your Delilah could be anything. Delilah don't always have to be a woman. Delilah could be a man. Delilah could be a car. Delilah could be money. Delilah could be anything that you put against God that God tells you not to. He told Eve not to, but the eyes of the weightiest look, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life caused her to go back against God. You know, God has to fight against those that fight against him because he had created you for good purpose. He had opened your eyes so that you can see, so you can defeat the Philistine. He asked Samson, he said, Samson, this is so you can defeat the Philistines for me. But Samson got tired of doing the work of God. He loved it beating up on people. He loved it working in his own strength. And when the Lord departed from him, he knew it not because he was accustomed of doing itself. God wants you to be dependent upon him. You have to trust the Lord. Through Jesus Christ, I can do all things. But without him, I can do nothing. But many of us then went out and got that woman, got that man, got that job, that car, whatever that Delilah is, whatever that Philistine is, back into your home. That Philistine then come in and you're not able to pay attention to God. You're not able to give God his offerings and tithe. You're not able to give God the time of day. He said, redeeming the time because the days of evil. But now you don't have time to read your Bible. You don't have time to do things in the church. You don't have time for people. You don't have time to do the things of God. The Philistines are on you, Samson. They go gouge your eyes out. Those very things God gave you to see, you're getting them gouged out because the judgment of God is upon you. The judgment of God is upon you. You've disobeyed God. Judgment begins at the house of God. That's why he destroyed Judah. This prophecy was given during the time of Jehoiakim. He had given this prophecy earlier. I told you they placed these at the appendix in the end of Jeremiah. But a lot of these prophecies was early prophecies. See, God is consistently working in your life. God's been ready years ago. He's been right by your side all these 20 or 30 years. These years that I was talking about with Deacon as we were driving up, when I was a young boy playing basketball, when I was a young boy out there running through the graveyards and things, God was with me the whole time. And I was just like Jacob. God is in this place and I knew it now. And the things God brought into my life was to make me slow down and take heed to the burning bush. God is that burning bush in our lives. He's like, Jeremiah says, he's just like fire shut up in our bones. God's trying to do something in your life. If you would just take time to focus and look up on God, seek after him while he's near, that he wants you to accomplish and glorify him and do these things. But you can't do it holding on to the Philistines. That's another God. You have to lose those things. The Philistines are trying to bind you. They came in with 7 new ropes to bind Samson. But that didn't hold Samson. What held Samson was Samson himself, his mouth. He let the seduction of his wife cause him to go to sleep on her lap, and he told her everything. He told her where his strength lied. And she caused the Philistines to come in and do it. She was a Philistine in the beginning. If you see your wife is not for God, if you see your husband is not for God, you better go to 1 Corinthians and read some of what Paul say, that you would pray to God, because you will have to learn how to fight a new battle. See, because it wouldn't be practical, it wouldn't be of God for you to divorce that wife or that spouse. It wouldn't be of God for you to treat these people indifferent, your children indifferent, your parents indifferent. But Jesus told us, say, your enemy shall be those of your own household. It's the people living right there in your own house that's holding you back. Now you have to ask God, say, God, give me sense to deal with this. Show me how to deal with these people. Last night I was trying to watch a little something with my sons and daughters that came over or whatever. But they were with so much foolishness and off-the-cuff thing that wasn't progressive. And I don't like giving up parts of my Friday night anyhow, because that's the day I prepare for the Sabbath. Not just prepare. I've been preparing all week, but that's a day of I try to get in a period of solitude. But I end up going in the other room and doing other things because I wanted them to leave. I wanted them to leave. See, sometimes you might need your children to leave. Because if you ain't serious about this thing, I don't want you wasting my time. So if you just sitting here with some foolishness playing on your phone and looking around and talking crazy talk, you can leave. I said, well, I'm fit to get in the shower. See, because you're grown, and after you reach a certain point, when you put away childish things. When you was a child, you understood it. Now is the time that we're trying to get somewhere. You know, your children will come back to you and sit around you or whatever if they want something, or if they're trying to pacify a need or something that they're trying to do, but you just buy a product to them. They come by when they want to. They talk to you when they want to. Well, I'm not a tool to be used. I'm busy for God. So if you want some help, if you want to talk, if you want to visit, do that. But don't come to me with a whole lot of foolishness, because God has said my days are numbered. I don't have time to waste. And I don't have time for somebody holding me back. Now, if you have problems or things in your life that's holding you back, God had loosed you. By his stripes we are healed. So we need to take charge of the Philistines and not let the Philistines take charge of, because like I say, they'll bind you if you allow. They'll bind you if you allow. So as he defines your enemies as those of your own household, you have to strive those to make them your friends. You have to strive to make them children of God. And only God can show you how to do that. Only God can do that. And if they don't line up with God, they're fighting against God. That which against God, God subdues that. I don't have to subdue that. Old Testament is that we had to stone our children. But Jesus Christ, he does the work. It is finished. He finished it on the cross. So a lot of times when people are taken out of this life, we've done all we can do. Because he had told us to love our enemies, and you love your spouse, you love your children, you love all men. He said, love your enemies and feed them and give them water, do these things. So all you have to do is what Jesus told us to do. And as things fall by the side, you better watch those emotions. You better watch those feelings. As David wept for his son Absalom and was crying, Joab came to him in a spirit of God and said, straighten up and stop crying and be a man. These people put their lives on the line for you. They could have been dead, and now you crying over your son. Get out there and be a man. Sometimes you have to be a man. You have to put those feelings aside. A corpse has no feelings. You say you're dead in Christ. Oh, but there's my daughter. Oh, that's my child. You'd better straighten up. God doesn't like slackers. And you'd better obey what God says. When God killed two of Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire to God. What did God say? Well, you tell Aaron to go cry and weep because I didn't kill both his sons. Or did he tell Moses, you go tell Aaron not to cut a step in front of the people and act like he's sorrowful or this and that, because I did it because they wasn't obeying me. They was doing something against what I told them not to do. And so Aaron didn't cut a horse around there. How many of y'all went on to Ezekiel? We're going to Ezekiel after we finish these next seven, eight chapters. How many of y'all went into Ezekiel? What he told Ezekiel? Tomorrow, don't take the darling of your eyes. In other words, don't take your wife away, but don't you cry, Ezekiel. Don't you show no emotions, Ezekiel. Don't you do this and don't you do that. when Jesus was going to the cross, what did he say? They say, he said, look, don't weep for me. Don't be crying for me. You weep for your sons and daughters, what you do. That's who you weep for. They got the problem. I don't have a problem. I was talking this morning. Somebody was telling me not to worry. Don't be don't let it worry. But if I did, it's a sin. If you let things worry you, it's a sin. Because Jesus says, see that you be not worried. See that you be not worried. And if you didn't cast those cares and burden on him, they for you and you alone. Right? No, they're for him. The battle is the Lord's. Stop trying to fight God's battles. Stop trying to do these things. You need to stop and let God. But ask him to show you how to let God do it. The last point is the pride of life. Pride of life. And there's so many Christians trapped in this today. Some preachers and things that Satan came, they would have took that deal. When they say all these kingdoms are mine, all you have to do is bow down and worship to me, I give them to you. Because it's a many of people who've ran this race, who've been in church, who have gone from church to church, who've been in here. It's a many of people that have been through this church. And it hurts when somebody join a church and then leave. It's just like losing a family member. It's like a parent losing a child. You don't know what that does to the pastor you walk out on me. What that does to the pastor when you say, well, we just don't agree. What that does to the church, because if we members one of another, you casting aside a part of the body of Christ. Look at some of the good times they had together. That's why it hurt David so much when Ahithophel left him. But see, David had did some wrong and thing. These things came. The Apostle Paul wasn't any different. He had two scriptures where he said good things. Colossians 4 and 14 and Philemon. You've read the little book of Philemon. It's only one chapter. But Paul says in the book of Colossians 4:14, he says, these are the people I have with me. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas. Both of them send you salutations. We've been on the field working and everything, and you know how you're going somewhere, sometimes I come over to y'all's houses or see y'all and y'all say, well, how the wife doing? Tell her, I say, hey. Well, I get to the house and I say, well, Sister Harris said, hey. Dick said, hey, how you doing? So that's a salutation. And each time Paul was telling these people that he was on the field and these people salute you. These people send salutations. Then again in Philemon, when he was returning the slave back, he says that he was on, and it was Mark, verse 24 of Philemon. I started the 21st. It says, yeah, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thine obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But will it prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I would be given unto you. That you praying that I come by your home, that I stay there and everything, that I'll be through there. But will there salute thee, Epaphroditus, my fellow prisoner in Jesus Christ. You remember Epaphroditus, he was the one he sent a few of his epistles to some of the churches by. He says, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow laborer. So there's Luke, who wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts with Paul. And there's Demas. And there's brother Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. That's John Mark, who had went on the journey. And Timothy says, bring Mark with you because he's profitable unto me. We've had a falling out before, just as natural things do happen. And him and Barnabas fell out behind them bringing Mark with them. But take note that Demas was with him. But by the time Paul goes to prison, by the time Paul has been fighting all these years and all that time, look at this verse, how it gets in the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and starting at the 10th verse. He says, "For and they shall turn away their ears from truth." Well, let me restart it, the whole verse, to let you take it so I won't be taken completely out of context. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing in his kingdom. preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thine all things, endure affliction, do the work of evangelists, and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, in the time of my departure at hand. I'm about to be killed. I'm about to die. But watch it. They will get treacherous in the last days. The people you're with, the Christians that you're with, they're not going to stand up to the sound doctrines. And he says, I fought a good fight, and I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's a crown laid up of righteousness laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but unto all them also that love his appearings. Do thine diligence to come unto me shortly before I get killed, before I die here. He says, listen at this sad note. He says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, and Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Damathea. Demas forsook. How is it that some in the church forsake us, that walk right there with us as companions? Jesus knows how that feels. He was betrayed by Judas. What was in Thessalonica? What was in Thessalonica the reason Demas forsook Paul? What was there for him? It was this present world. And a lot of us love this present world. We like to go out after preaching and teaching that's fine and fabulous to us. It sounds good. There's a good audience there. There's music. There's entertainment for the children or whatever. But in that day when what Demas had left Paul for, that's Antichrist-like, that's in this day and time, that a lot of us are letting the Philistines deceive us away from the true gospel. Listen at 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Starting at the first verse, it says, but relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretended revelation of the Spirit or by the word or by letter alleged to be from us to the effect that the day of Lord of the Lord has already arrived. You know, Demas may have been one of the ones that Paul was talking about here, who had came to Thessalonica preaching about the money coming. It's a time of prosperity. Live for the Lord. This is your kingdom right here on earth. The present life. A lot of preachers, a lot of churches today living their best life here. God wants all for you for right here at this time and in this life. This is from Paul. He had been with Paul. He had the credentials of Paul. A lot of people have been churches and been with a lot of other preachers, but now they're preaching something else. That's not from that preacher. That's not from God. It's of themselves. And they're deluded by the things of this life. They're satisfied with cars, with money, with things. The young people today, I look at a lot of their religion, and it's Philistinian religion. It doesn't glorify God. There's no suffering of self. There's a glorification and a personification of self. I got mine. Where's yours? And it's all for thyself, and that Philistine have subdued them, and they don't know that God has left him, that God has left them, that God is no longer with them. They're like Samson operating in their own strength. They're like Samson. Can you see this one strong man? Had his eyes gouged out, grinding at the meal. They said the Philistines put him to grind at the meal. This once man that God had chosen to defeat these enemies had allowed this woman to lure him to the point to where he was of no use no more for God. So what did he say? God, just remember me. Let me die with my enemies. And that's suicide, to die with your enemies. God heard what he said. They led Samson to those pillars. Can you see this man going to those pillars in that decrepit state? A young boy, if I just ask my grandson, son, just come lead me here. And he just lead him upside the pillars, and Samson leaned on the pillars and pushed him down. He killed 3,000 Philistines, but he killed himself in the process. Are you out there killing yourself, laboring under your own strength, whereas God wants you to be victorious and to walk as he walked? But due to your own negligence, you cause your own eyes to put out through the lust of the eye. You allowed this to come upon you. You allowed yourself to be weakened by the Delilahs of this world. Those things that deceive you and bound you again. Through the corruption that's in the flesh, you've become bound who was once loose. The Philistines still was fighting Saul. They were fighting David, so Samson didn't complete the job. We need to complete the job God has given us to do. We need to be as the Apostle Paul and say, I finished my course. We need to do all God has for us to do. But we are from one mishap to another, hoping God that we make it through the night. And always with some excuse, always that your day coming. Well, can I tell you, your day is now. Your day is here, that God's working and he's always working, and that he wants you to be glorious and victorious now. He don't want you to be as Lot's wife. Lot, through the lust of the flesh, went down in Sodom and he was leaving. None of his children listened at him. The two daughters that did leave with him, the daughter and the wife, and they told him not to look back. She looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. They kept on running. So that's like when the Philistines came up on the people, they said, the parents won't turn around for the children. Are you going back to help your children? Are you praying for your children? Are you running off and leaving them behind for the Philistines? You didn't put your cheering aside for the Philistines, and when they come, that's going to be no one to help. When Lot running for his very life and his daughters, what did he do? He got to Zoan and he sinned more. He was a drunkard. He drunk with his children, and I tell you, don't drink with your children. They got him drunk and they had children for him. That's incest. Ammon and Moab. That's where that comes from. After God trying to save him, in the midst of saving him, he still was sinning. Are we still sinning and God's trying to save us? Or we end up just like Lot, saved but by the skin of our teeth. We won't have no rewards at the white throne. We won't have anything in judgment because we've been giving it all to the Philistines. Demas, how is it going to stand in that day? And Paul was praying for him. He said, the Lord deal with it, not I. He didn't wish anything bad. See, because the sin is against God. David knew that. He said, he didn't say I sinned against Bathsheba. He said, I've sinned against God. All sin is against God. God's going to vanquish the Philistines. If you look in your, I put something in your notes from Isaiah, the 13th chapter, and from Amos, the 9th. God's going to do that work. It's not going to be by power or might, but it's going to be by his Spirit. But does God have to work on you like he did Judah? Do he have to judge you and take you out the way? Do he have to put you on the side like Samson died in that grave? Do you want to be like John, who they say lived no telling how long it was? That's what he told Peter. He said, don't worry about him. I may will that that man live till I come back. You need to run your race so that I want to be here when Jesus comes back. I want to be on the battlefield when he comes back. I want to be one of those players that's on the court still playing, that the coach didn't say, okay, sit down, you hadn't practiced enough. Sit down and get out of the game because you're not a good player. He put us on the field. Let's stay on the battlefield. That old song, I'm going to stay on the battlefield for my Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, hoping your word go home to the hearts of each and every here, Lord God. Oh, Father, that this word, Lord God, that your servant tried to humbly speak with all simplicity as possible, Lord God, let them assimilate it unto themselves, Lord God, where it would benefit them, themselves, mankind, their homes, and all that hear them, that they be as you were, an example unto other people, Lord God, that they walk circumspectly in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.